with Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, along with my trail partner and co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Howdy, Tina Mae.
Howdy.
Well, tell us who's going to be joining us on the show this evening.
Oh, Gary, I am very excited about our guest today. First, we have Sam Hubbard to share his story of riding across America and the purpose of his One Nation ride. Then we travel to the historic M. Lazy Sea Ranch in the beautiful Lake George area of Colorado to visit with Brenda and Randy Myers. It's going to be a great show.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fun show, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Sam Hubbard on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
Well, Sam Hubbard began his One Nation ride on April the 5th from his home in Milton, Freewater, Oregon. And Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Tina Mae.
Well, we're excited to have you on the program with us today, and I know that a lot of folks have been following your journey since you left back in April. And Sam, share with us what your motivation was and the purpose for the One Nation ride.
My motivation was looking at the people, listening to family, friends, business associates and customers, and realizing that people across the country seem to be down about our country and losing hope in who we are. And you know, I've been thinking about this for 3 years, and you know, we need to turn the frustration into positive action. And so I thought a good thing to do to bring some awareness to who we are is to take the American flag, my two horses, and ride across the country and try to bring some hope, try to remind people who we are, and say all is not lost. We're a strong and resilient people. We're good together, and we can solve any problems we want if we're together. So that was my motivation, is to try to bring some hope back into this country.
Well, and that's a great motivation. But you know, not everybody is inclined to get the flag and a couple of horses and take off riding from one coast to the other. I mean, how did you make that decision?
Well, you know, I've loved my horses for years, and I love riding horses, and it's something I've been thinking about for about 3 years. And then a year before I left, I really committed to saying, okay, I'm going to make this plan. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to just talk about it. I'm not going to be a person, one of the people in this country that complains about everything, doesn't do anything about it. So it was time to show who we are. I'm tired of hearing the stories of, you know, the negative about Americans. I want to show how good we are. And I'll tell you what, I've experienced that from Oregon to Virginia.
That is
wow.
Awesome. We've been thinking about this for some time. So,
absolutely.
You know, let the people know exactly what steps did you take to prepare yourself and your horse for this massive journey that you're on?
Well, there's a lot of steps to prepare myself. People seem to ask me more about, you know, the plans, the organization, the routes, those types of things. I put much more time into the preparation than I put, and concern into preparation than I put into concerned about which road I'm going to ride on. So my
preparation.
I'm headed east, you know, and I'm headed east, and I had a tentative route. I had some towns and some cities that I wanted to hit and go through. But how I got there was not as important as the preparation to be able to get there. So I didn't start right before I got on my horses. You know, conditioning hooves, very, very important to make sure that my horses had the strong hooves and hooves that were in excellent condition prior to the ride. Physical condition, I would love to say that horses were completely ready and that I was as well. I was exercising my horses, but time in life, I'm a busy person. Time in my normal life didn't allow as much preparation as I would have liked. But, you know, we got to where we were doing 16 miles on gravel roads and barefoot horse riding into mountain free water. And then give them a day off, and then I'd do the hills up through the windmills, steep rolling hills. And then give them a day off and go back and do the gravel roads again. They were in good shape when we left, but not the shape that they needed to be in for this whole ride. So part of what I did with the horses, the first 2 weeks of the ride, I did not worry about how many miles we went. Miles were not important to me the first 2 weeks. And that was just training and building stability. A lot of people try something like this and they push out hard. They burn their horses out and wear their horses out before they ever get a month into the ride. You need to do just the opposite. Start slow and let them build up.
Gradual.
But as far as packs go, I designed my own packs. They're over-the-saddle packs. I had an incredibly good friend, a brother to me, Santos Garcia. He's a master saddle maker, leather worker, and he and I worked for months on designing, building, and preparing the pack. He worked with me as far as physical condition. When I went to him, I could hardly squat down. He had me doing all my exercises out at the saddle shop, and everything I did was in a squatting position to simulate that I was in the saddle. For 6 months, for 1 or 2 days a week, I would do exercises out at the saddle shop in a squatting position. And he helped prepare me, him and his son, helped prepare me in many ways for this journey.
Well, that's
well,
pretty cool.
Your pack saddle looks awesome. I've seen it in your pictures.
Oh, my pack is awesome. It's lightweight. It's made out of ripstop vinyl, double-layer ripstop vinyl. I looked online to try to find what I wanted. And all the over-the-saddle packs, they seem to hang down to the belly too low. And I say too low because when you fill up a pack, that might be fine for a weekend trip or maybe even a week trip. But when you're going 3,000 miles and that pack is swinging out and back and hitting their ribs, hitting on their belly every day for 20 miles a day on an average, that's not healthy. I needed to raise those packs up. I wanted an over-the-saddle pack and not a crossbuck because I'm riding both horses and packing both horses. My horses are not the same shape. If they were the same shape, I could have used the same saddle, but they're not. So you fit a saddle. It's more important for me to fit the saddle to the horse than it was to me. It's like putting on a pair of pants that don't fit you. You don't go 3,000 miles in them on a saddle that doesn't fit your horse.
Right, right. Well, let me ask this, Sam. What type of provisions did you start out with? And the second part of that would be, how has that changed, or has it, as you've been traveling?
No, that's an excellent question. We were much heavier when I started out than what I am today. Started out, it was April 5th. Winter lasted a month longer than what it was supposed to.
If
it has a schedule that it's supposed to follow, it does not. But so I started out with, you know, all the long underwear, more insulation, insulated gloves. I was in the West so many times it was days between towns. Solar panel I had with me to charge my laptop and my cell phone. Tucker took care of my laptop, so I no longer have to worry about that. I had a speaker that was a Bluetooth speaker that I could play my music from my phone on. That went to the side when I lost my phone that had all the music in it. And so things I've just been dropping off as I go.
Right.
I had camp fuel, a little backpacking camp stove, dehydrated foods, those little hand warmer, pocket warmer things.
Right.
I had a lot of weight to help keep warm and to help keep fed. Now that I'm in the East, it's not so far between towns. It's not so far between homes. So I don't have to worry about carrying so much water on me. I can take care of my water needs through bottled water now. I had a water filter before. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to have food available. There's always a gas station or a home or something along the line that you can stop at. I didn't have that in the West. So I'm probably 30 to 40 pounds lighter now than when I started.
Right. Now, do you take some type of tent along with you for shelter, or did you start out with something like that and then change?
I started with a tent. I started out with a tent. When it was cold, I actually never used it. I knock on doors and ask if I can house my horses when I see a safe place, and it's turned out that I've almost always been able to stay in a home, a bedroom, a tack room, a barn, a shop. I've always had walls, almost always had walls and a roof. So
right.
It turned out that the tent wasn't something I needed all that much. I'm sticking closer to roads and population just for visibility to help spread my message.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to go backcountry, I'm not going to reach a lot of people. However, I've had some wonderful times off-road and through mountains and down rail trails where I haven't seen anybody for days. And those have been awesome times for myself and the horses. But, you know, I brought along a set of hobbles with me when I started. I've never used them. When I left, I would use the lead ropes. I have stayed out quite a bit I'm going to say a dozen times or so,
mm-hmm.
where I've stayed out where I haven't had a home or where I haven't had a fairgrounds or a rodeo grounds or some place that I could find to put the horses that were secure. I started out, I hold both lead ropes. Then I got to the point where I could hold one lead rope. Then I didn't hold any lead rope. Now I find an area that looks suitable for us, like coming over through the mountains of West Virginia. If I found an area where that had a patch of grass that would satisfy for the horses for the night, if it had water, I'm very comfortable at this point just falling asleep in my sleeping bag, and my horses are right there when I wake up.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So they don't leave me. They don't leave me. We're it's the three of us. We're a team. They provide needs that I have, and I provide needs that they have, and they know it. And
well, I guess you've kind of become a herd, and you're the herd leader. So
well, I'd like to think I'm the lead horse, but sometimes it's Max.
Well, I want to throw this little story in real quick. It's probably been a half a dozen years ago now, and I had just gone out to feed my horses, and had finished up, was getting ready to head back into the house, and I looked down my driveway, and I have a long driveway. It's probably a couple hundred yards, a couple of football fields down from where I am to the highway, and coming up the drive was a fellow with a slicker and a huge cowboy hat and a full beard, and he was riding a little Appaloosa and carrying another one, leading another one behind him. And not your normal sight to see here in Tennessee. And so I waited for him. He got up and he said, "Would you mind if you have a little paddock I can turn my horses out in and a barn that I can sleep in?" And I looked at him just a minute, and I kind of evaluated his rig. And Tina May, he was riding one of those really nice Circle Y saddles that we both like. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I've got a paddock that you can put the horses in, and I have a place that you can sleep inside for the night. And on top of that, we'll go into town and we'll do some grilling out when we come back. And he had his blue heeler dog that was with him. And his dog loved McDonald's hamburgers. He said, "If you wouldn't mind," he said, "let's go through this McDonald's and I'll buy him one of those dollar special hamburgers." And that's what he had for dinner. Nice. And we had a great, great conversation. And he had a good shower and a good breakfast the next morning, and then he took off, and he was going from Michigan down to Florida and then heading back up to Santa Fe. So my question for you, Sam, is what kind of reception have you had from folks that you've encountered on the way?
I'll tell you that, Gary. You remind me a little of a rather humorous story that when I started, the picture that you painted, I lived that exactly. I rode down a lane. It was getting late at night, very windy, outside of Weezer, Idaho. Couldn't find a home. I haven't stayed where I haven't had permission. So I ride up. It's like a quarter mile down to a house, and I think I'll take a chance. I'll go see if anybody's there. It's getting dark. I ride down the lane. A gentleman comes out. He looks at me. I pull out a card. I have these One Nation ride cards with my name on it and my Facebook site. I hand him the card, and I ask him if he has a safe place for my horses for the night. I saw he had a round pen there and some horses himself. He looks at me, and he says, "Do you mind if I call the sheriff and check on you and see if you're wanted for anything?" And and I said, I handed him the card. I said, "You call the sheriff and check on me. You have your wife look me up on Facebook." Well, they looked me up on Facebook. They saw my website, saw what I was about and what I was doing. I don't think he ever actually called the sheriff. He walks back out pretty quickly, and he looks at me, and he says, "Are you conservative?" And I said, "Yes." He says, are you packing a weapon?" And I said, I have a revolver. And he goes, "Okay, good, you can stay here." He says, "Okay, good, you can stay here. I wanted to make sure you weren't crazy."
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny.
Oh, it was funny. My responses have been incredible. The people of this country are family to me, and they've treated me that way. I've had, since April 5th, I've had only two people turn me away. And
wow.
I don't begrudge them that. They probably have the reasons. I simply say, "God bless you, and I'm going to ride on."
Right.
But even on those nights, I still found a place that I could sleep safely for the horses and myself. So one of them turned into an incredible evening with another man who waved me into his home, had a pasture for the horses, handed me whiskey and put on a barbecue. And he told me the stories. He was in his later 60s. In 1992, he had rode from Payette, Idaho to California and back.
Oh, wow.
On mules. So we stayed up till midnight, that the same night that I was turned away. We stayed up till midnight as he relived the story. I listened and learned, and he was back in the saddle again.
Oh wow, that's amazing! That is amazing.
That's
well,
cool.
we want to talk some more about the One Nation ride. We want to talk more about the folks that you've encountered along the way, and several questions that I know that I have, and I'm sure Tina May does. But right now, we want to take just a quick break and announce that we have a trail trivia question for our audience that's out there listening. And we do this each week on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And I told Tina May earlier, I said, you know, I hope that these trivia questions are both fun and educational. But tonight, our trail trivia winner will receive a terrific Savvy Horse Highline system by Camp With Horses, one of our great sponsors. And it's a great system for folks that are out camping and traveling. Easy to set up, but that's the Savvy Horse Highline system by Camp With Horses. And so tonight's trail trivia winner will be receiving that in just a few days. But here's the question. So listen closely, and I think it's great information as well as a lot of fun. But and you can't answer this, Sam. So you're not eligible. But here's the question. The Oregon Trail was laid by fur trappers and traders from about 1811 to 1840, and it was only passable on foot or by horseback. By 1836, when the first migrant wagon train was organized in Independence, Missouri, a wagon trail had been cleared to Fort Hall, Idaho. Wagon trails were cleared, reaching further and further west, eventually reaching all the way to the Willamette Valley in what state? So the question is, the Oregon Trail that was started in 1811 ran all the way for the wagon trail from Independence, Missouri to the Willamette Valley in what state? And we're going to let you call in our last segment of the show today. And you'll be able to win a great Savvy Horse Highline by Camp With Horses, and their website is campwithhorses.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Sam Hubbard about his One Nation ride.
There's a trail of blood back through the sacred halls of history. Follow it back to where our fathers fought and died. Across the ways, see the crosses on the hillside. On the wind, hear their voices as they cry. We've got to get back to the faith of our fathers and find our way back to the Liberty Bell and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to rise up and say this country is not for sale. She's not for sale. From Valley Forge they're calling, not for sale. From Gettysburg they cry, from Bella Wood to the battle for Fallujah. She's not for sale, no, not at any price. There was a time when we all stood together. There was a time when by fire we were tried, but we've lost our way. It's a way that costs so dearly. It's not too late to saddle up and ride. We've gotta get back to the faith of of our fathers and find our way back to the Liberty Bell and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to tell Washington my country's not for sale. From the Alamo to the sands of Iwo Jima, from Normandy to the Chosun Reservoir, back to Bataan, to the mighty Mekong Delta, from the Helmand Province to the Solomon's bloody shores, they cry, we gotta get back to the faith of our fathers.
Country's Not for Sale by R.W. Hampton, and we're talking with Sam about his One Nation ride. And Sam, I just felt like that song kind of fit in with the journey that you're taking.
That was an awesome song. That was really good. I have to make a correction in enunciation. I would say that where did the wagon train leave from in Missouri? Because it ended up in Willamette Valley.
Willamette Valley. Okay. All right. Yes, well, sir. We want to make sure we get this right. But and by the way, once again, the trail trivia question, we're going to give you an opportunity to call in during our second segment of the show with that answer. So just a while ago, all of the phone lines were lighting up, and I had to check and make sure I got the right line opened up when I was talking to you, Sam. So thanks for and I may make that mistake again before it's over with. But
well, you know, we call towns all across the country by different names. I thought it was Dubois, Wyoming, that I went through, and I was often corrected and told it was actually Dubois.
Dubois, that's right.
And I grew up north of Spokane, Washington, but out here I hear it often pronounced as Spokane, which is how it looks like it should be spelled.
Yeah. Well, it's all different. We've got a little town close to where I am called Lafayette, Tennessee, but if you read it, it should be Lafayette, but they pronounce
right,
it Lafayette.
Right.
So anyway, I think people probably figure out what we're talking about. But
probably.
Hey, Tina May, you have a question that you wanted to ask?
Well, I got a question. Yes, I do. You've had a big journey, and you have got lots of support, and it seems like you've got a lot of people that's got your back on this journey, which I think is absolutely awesome. But what is the one thing or moment that stands out the most so far in this journey of yours?
That would be besides being on our show tonight, right?
Well, besides
being on Saddle Up America.
Of course, Gary and Tina, absolutely. You know, there are several moments. I have a couple. One was when I was invited up to Promise Equestrian Center up in Illinois, north of Wayne, Illinois, and worked with Boots and Hooves and founder Gary Paulson and his crew, and worked with Boots and Hooves. It's a program for veterans with PTSD. And the unique thing about this program I really like is the families are invited. So spouses and children get to come take part in the week with their husbands or wives or spouses, which is really valuable. And Jerry let me do the and the staff allowed me to do the introduction to the horse to the men. I spent 3 days with them with, lunches and dinners and evening activities and became very close to those men. That was a very, very special part of the trip. As well as Oh man, this one choked me up. I could hardly even speak at the time. I was riding down Parkersburg, West Virginia, on Highway 50, and I don't know if you're familiar with the story Lone Survivor, the Marcus Luttrell story of our Navy SEALs that were killed in Afghanistan. There is a movie out. It's a book. I read the book long before the movie came out, so I know the story well. And one of Marcus's brother, the survivor, one of his brothers that died that day was Danny Dietz. And it was a battle of basically four of our soldiers against 300 Afghan soldiers. And the fight and the battle that they put up that day to survive was amazing. I'm coming down the highway at Parkersburg on Highway 50, and a pickup truck pulls over, and in the back window, there's a decal of an eagle, golden eagle, and below it says, "Keep calm and beats on." A gentleman and his wife get out of the car and out of the truck and walk back, ask what I'm doing. I share my message with him. I tell him what I'm doing, and he introduces himself as Don Marsh. And he says, "Have you heard of do you know Danny Dietz?" And I said, "Well, I don't know him, but I know of him." And he says, "This is Cindy Dietz, his mother."
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Oh, wow. And I told her, "Ma'am, it's an honor to meet you, and I'm sorry for your loss." And at that point, I could hardly say anything else. I was so choked up and so honored to meet this lady of one of our fine, fine soldiers in an incredible story. But the gifts that I received like this along this trip and just amazing, amazing surprises that God's provided for me, they just continue to blow me away.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, we're running short of time. I mean, we have a great guest like you are, and the time just gets away from us. And I want to invite you to come back after you've completed your ride and share some more with us. Would love to have you come back and do that. But there was a question that I wanted to ask you as we're closing this segment of the show. And that question, Sam, is what have you learned about yourself on this ride?
I learned about myself. I knew about myself. I was pretty stubborn and resilient. I don't know if I knew how far that would take me. I've learned about myself that I'm much better when I stay out of my way and listen to the Lord and let Him lead me.
Amen.
And don't try to organize my day and organize my life to the point where I don't allow room for the Spirit to flow. And that's been a blessing to me. I'll tell you what I've learned about the American people is that I express who we are very clearly and very simply in two words, and I've experienced this in every state and every community across this country, is we are community and we are family. We do those things really, really good, Gary. We're really good to each other.
Right.
Wow.
Well, that's such a blessing. Well, I expect that there ought to be a book in this, or at least memoirs that you share. But
I will be writing a book when I'm done.
Yeah, we want to have you come back, and for the folks that are listening, maybe this is the first time that they've been aware of what you're doing. What is your website?
If you go to onenationride.com, you can click on my website on the Facebook page and follow along. I try to post daily if I have service, or you can go to One Nation Ride on Facebook and go straight to my Facebook site. Like I say, the pictures, the stories, they're very, very, I guess they show who we are. I'm trying to show the good light of the American people, and we are a beautiful, beautiful people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said it's inspiring. It's very inspiring, and you're giving people a show of hope.
It is about hope, and it's working, Tina. It's working. I constantly have people on Facebook telling me that I've restored hope in who we are. I've restored hope in and them seeing who the American person individually is.
Well, we appreciate so much what you're doing and the message that you're carrying, and for you sharing your experiences with these Americans that are part of this community that we all share together. And so thanks so much for joining us, Sam. And Sam Hubbard, you're a great guest. We wish you luck and good wishes as you're completing this journey. And I think that you your plans are to wrap up about the 5th of September.
That's correct. I'm going to be, looks like I'm going to be on Virginia Beach at the 5th of September is the plan at the moment. And I want to thank both of you for having me on. Saddle of America is a great idea for a radio program, and I wish you both the best of luck. God bless you both.
Thank you. You be safe and enjoy your journey.
Thank you, Tina May.
All right. Thanks so much,
Thank
Sam.
You, Gary.
Appreciate you.
All right. Well, have a great night.
You too, Sam. And stay dry, by the way.
Yeah. That's yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, we've enjoyed talking with Sam. We want to point out to you that we have a legacy club that we have set up for our listeners and our friends. It's our way of saying thank you. It's a free membership club. It entitles you to discounts from our legacy club sponsors. We have monthly drawings for folks that just, and all you have to do is sign up as a legacy club member. You're automatically entered. And we have a tremendous end of the year drawing that we're going to have for a portable two-horse watering system by our great sponsor at HydroHorse.com. It's a revolutionary watering system for your trailer, and you can visit that on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. You can visit HydroHorse's website at HydroHorse.com, but it's easy to be entered into the drawing. Just take advantage of our free Legacy Club membership and visit EquestrianLegacy.net. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Randy and Brenda Myers from Colorado's M. Lazy C. Ranch. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
He was the new kid on the circuit, gold buckles in his eyes. But the horse he drew was plenty rank, and much to his surprise, he did a double backflip, landed on his head. This old cowboy limped out in the ring, leaned over him and said, "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough get going when the going gets tough. But around here all we say is, son, you better cowboy up." By the end of last season, said he was among the best, so he proudly called the girl back home, hoping she would be impressed. But her mama said she married the guy he used to call his friend. And before the first tear could fall, these words came back again: "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle. Going when the going gets tough. Around here all we say is,
Tina May, we're getting ready to cowboy up. We're going to be visiting now with Brenda and Randy Myers from the beautiful M. Lazy Sea Ranch in Lake George, Colorado. And Randy and Brenda, welcome to the show.
They're out there. Hello, how are you?
Doing great. How are
Wonderful.
You doing?
Wonderful. Hi, Brenda. Hi, Randy.
Well, and Randy's not here. Unfortunately, he's part of the rodeo committee, and he's busy with that this evening. But you got me, and we're grateful and happy to be on the radio with you.
Well, we're just happy to have you joining us. And tell us exactly where Lake George is in Colorado.
We're about 45 minutes to an hour west, straight west of Colorado Springs, up in the mountains. We're about 8,000 feet. The ranch itself is sort of situated in a mountain valley surrounded by national forests, so we think it's God's country.
Well, you are in God's country, and it's just beautiful, beautiful. I have been to your website and looked at the photographs there, and, of course, a little familiar with Colorado myself. But, Brenda, tell us how you got started with the M. Lazy Sea Ranch.
Well, we started 34 years ago. We operated a dude string and took out hunters in the fall and had a sort of outgrew where we were and had an opportunity to buy the property that we're on. It's an original homestead that was built in 1906. When we bought it, it was in pretty poor repair, and the only thing usable on the place was the house, and it had avocado green shag carpeting and green appliances. So I brought my parents out, and my mother cried, and I don't think it was because she was very happy about the move we had made, but it's been an amazing journey, and, you know, we've been able to restore all the original buildings on the ranch and add to it. The families, to the people who originally homesteaded it, came and had their family reunion here this summer, so we got tons of pictures and tons of stories to share.
Oh, that's great. Well, and I know Tina May's not old enough to remember shag carpet, but I am. And
trust me, Tina May, it was ugly. Really ugly.
Oh, really, really ugly. But, well, glad you did a remodel on that. You know, one of the interesting things that you shared with us the other day, and it was great to get to visit with you and Randy a little bit before the show. There was a TV program that I actually watched. It was, I think, on CMT for a while. And tell us a little bit about that and what that experience was like for you.
It was called Cowboy U. CMT did it. They had called us in October and wanted to come out and film. And we got to talking about it and decided that probably October wasn't the best time in Colorado to be filming outdoors.
Right.
So we shelved it for a bit, and then they called back in the spring, and we actually were in Oklahoma doing a Wild West show at the time. And they wanted, you know, we told them we'd be home in a few days, and they said, well, we've got tickets, we'll be there tomorrow. So the guy that worked for us at the time sort of gave them a tour, and by the time we got home from that Wild West show, we had a contract in the mail, and we were off and running. They were here for about 8 weeks, but the first round was the art department, and we had to get a bunkhouse built, and we redid our arena and put buck and chutes at the end, and, you know, they did all the decorating and got things done, and by the time the start and finish date was about 8 weeks, but it was amazing.
Oh, wow.
They dug trenches to put their lighting cables in, and when they were done, they, you know, took their lighting cables out and covered all those ditches, rented a piece of equipment so that we could plant grass seed, and then they made a donation to the fire department so that we could water all that grass seed until we came into our monsoon season.
Oh, that's great. Well, if I recall correctly, Rocco was a pretty tough instructor. Yeah, he was pretty tough.
He's tough, but he is an amazing person in real life. It was important to him that the people who came for that show got something out of it more than just being on TV. We've been fortunate enough to spend some time with him outside of the show. He lives in Arizona, and we have a little place down there. He's genuinely the kind of guy who wanted these folks to learn a little more about the cowboy lifestyle and learn some, maybe some life lessons through that.
Right.
And it
right.
was more than a TV show for him.
Well, it was a great show. It's a shame that it's still not running, so maybe they could bring
yeah.
that back again. That was it was a lot of fun to watch. But tell us a little bit about the ranch. I mean, how are you set up? What is there for people to do when they come? And just share a little bit about that with us.
Okay. The original ranch was 160 acres, and we have, since we started our first piece of parcel here, we now have 150 of the original 160, so we're working on that. We have restored all the buildings, so we have guest cabins. We have the original ranch house now we rent out for our guests. We have a big dining hall that's set up like a big barn. In fact, I've got 30 ladies in there right now eating because they're all here on a horse trip that
oh,
they
wow.
do every year. I think this is their fifth year. We also
oh,
have RV sites and with horse pens beside or behind them. And then we're surrounded by about 300,000 acres of national forest. We have a special use permit with the Forest Service that we've had for, oh, I don't know, probably 30 years. So you can come and ride one of our horses as a guest in one of the cabins. You can bring your own and ride on your own. We do overnight pack trips. Tonight's ice cream social. So all of our ranch guests come and we tell lies and stories and, you know, talk about the day. Let's see. What else do we do? We do a lot of Wild West shows. We're involved in rodeos and stuff either here for corporate events or off property for my husband has his PRCA specialty act card and his pyrotechnics license. So we do a lot of that.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a fun place, we think, a very fun place to be and small enough still that we feel like we can get to know all of our guests and hopefully when we see them on the trail down the road that we know who they are and that they've been a guest of ours here at the ranch.
Oh, that's great. Well, Tina May and I both were talking the other day about the fact that we had to put your place on our bucket list.
Ooh,
and
good.
Yeah, it would just as a matter of fact, it would be just so much fun to take these shows out on the road so we could actually be visiting with people in the locations where we're talking. And
well,
I guess
that's a great idea. I'll vote for it.
All right. All right. Well,
I have any clout, but I'll vote for it.
All right. No, I think that sounds great. You'll be our first place.
Good, good. Come on down.
Sounds like you have a little bit of everything for every type of person or every type of rider, and you even have things for some of the people that sometimes they have a spouse that isn't really a horse rider, and it sounds like you even right. have activities for them and some, don't you have a lot of local attractions as well that people can go and check out? And
yes, and Colorado Springs and surrounding area are great. We have an enormous amount of tourism in our area. Whitewater rafting and Garden of the Gods and Cave of the Winds, Pikes Peak, Royal Gorge. There's just so much to see and do, and the trails are set up to where there are areas where we have folks that bring their side-by-sides or their ATVs, and they can either haul them or ride from here and go do that. And there is a lot of mixed variety here. You know, most of our cabin guests are city slickers, if you want to call them that, and they're riding our horses and learning a little bit about ranch life. And then our RV guests are here with their living quarters trailers and riding their own horses and having meals with us and those kind of things.
And you have it set up where they can come and stay a couple days or they can stay a week or they can stay a month or however long.
Yes.
So you got, you
yeah,
know,
and when we first started the ranch, our kids were pretty little, and the typical guest ranch was a week-long stay. You know, you check in on Sunday, check out on Sunday. And we were a family of five, and there was no way at the time that we could pay $1,500, $1,800, $2,000 a week per person to stay. And we felt like we would like to share the ranch and offer a little less of a, you know, the duration of it could be a little less. So we have some cabins that you just have, it's like a B&B and you can just spend the night, and we have others that require a longer stay. But at least we could give people a little bit of a taste of what the ranch is like. And then we have people in our RV sites that have been here since Memorial Day and won't leave till after Labor Day.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, we want to, and while I'm thinking about this, let's give people your website.
Just M and then the word lazy, LAZYC.com.
Okay, mlazyc.com, and so you can check that out, and they also have a page on Facebook as well. I've got people that are holding. I know that people are wanting to answer our trivia question, so I want to take just a real quick break and ask the trivia question again, Brenda, and see if we have somebody that's going to win that great Savvy Horse Highline. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other activities that you've got there and some of the special things that you do that I think people will be interested in. So I'm going to put you on mute for just a second, and we'll ask this trivia question again and see if we have any callers for that.
Okay.
So this is a trivia question. I hope that you find this interesting. It's the Oregon Trail was laid by fur trappers and traders from about 1811 to 1840. And by 1836, they started taking migrant wagon trains, beginning in Independence, Missouri, and traveling through Fort Hall, Idaho, until they went further and further west, eventually reaching all the way to the Willamette Valley in what state? So give us a call at 213-943-3396. 213-943-3396, and it was the Willamette, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, Willamette Valley. But what state did the Oregon Trail end up in? So we're going to give you a minute to give us a call, and while we're waiting on that, we're going to listen to a great song from R.W. Hampton called Short Grass.
And the wind always blows. A place big enough for a man to dream. Back home where the short grass grows. The Lord never painted a prettier sky, almost as blue as the blue of her eyes. When we shared our love by the pinon fire's glow, back home where the short grass grows. I'm going where the short grass grows. Blue mountains rise and the wind always blows. A place big enough for a man to dream. Back home where the short grass grows. Close my eyes, I can almost be there. I can see my love awaiting where that old sweet water flows. Back home where the short grass grows. I'm going where the short grass grows. Blue mountains rise and the wind always blows. A place big enough for a man to dream. Back home where the short grass grows.
Where the short grass is a-waving to a turquoise sky above. The aspen-covered hills guard the country that I love. I'm going where short grass grows, the blue mountains rise and the wind.
R.W. Hampton Shortgrass, and we're going to take a call now. And the trivia question was, what state did the Oregon Trail end up in? It started in Independence, Missouri, and we've got a 615 caller. And who am I speaking with?
Tina?
Tina?
Hi, Tina!
Hey, Tina May, how are you, darling?
Doing
well,
good.
How are you doing? So what state are you calling from?
I am calling from Middle Tennessee.
All right. Well,
about
can you answer?
An hour and a half east of Nashville.
All right. Can you tell us what state the Oregon Trail ended in?
Yes, Oregon Trail ended, started in Independence, Missouri, and it took them about 4 months. They ended up in Oregon City in Oregon.
Well, Tina, you've got that answer is correct. And Tina May, you want to tell them what state you thought it ended in?
No.
Yes.
All right, we won't put you on the spot. What I need you to do, Tina, is the Oregon Trail. That's right. But what I need you to do now is, if you will go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and in our contact form section, give us your name and your mailing address and your email address, and we're going to be sending you the Savvy Horse Highline by Camp with Horses. And congratulations on getting that question right.
I am so excited, I will tell you. This is great. My first
congratulations, Tina, and thanks for jumping on.
Hey, not a problem there, Tina May. Not a problem at all. You guys are great. You have a great show.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Y'all have a good rest of the show.
Thanks so much. And go to equestrianlegacy.net and put your information in there, and we'll get that out to you. So thanks so much.
All right.
Y'all take care. All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, we had our second winner of our Trail Trivia Contest. Last week we gave a great five-piece gift set from Espana Silk All-Natural Grooming Products, and this week it's a tremendous Savvy Horse Highline by Camp with Horses, and I know that Tina is going to enjoy that. So be sure to listen every week for our Trail Trivia questions, because we've got some great gift items that we're giving away just for listening and playing Trail Trivia with us on Saddle Up America. Brenda, we've got you back on the line. And,
hello.
Hey, and did you know the answer to that question?
No, sir, I don't think I – yes, I did. I think I did. I thought I did, but yes, and I was right.
Oh, gosh. Well,
I'm not the history buff in our household, but it's okay.
Well, that was –
and now we know it took 4 months, too, so she gave extra information.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Another little piece of trivia, that during the period of time that folks traveled the Oregon Trail, over 400,000 settlers, farmers, ranchers, miners, and businessmen traveled that trail. And right now, Interstate 80 follows much of the same route as the original Oregon Trail. So just a little piece of trivia there.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. But now, look, tell us a little bit more about what there is that people can do, because you started out 30 years ago as a hunting camp. What can you do? Some hunting there now and fishing? What other things are there to do?
We still run our hunting camps, yes. We are situated right in the middle of gold medal waters here at the ranch. So although they're not on the ranch, within 15 to 30 minutes we've got some amazing fishing. We take a lot of archery hunters and obviously rifle hunters. We have a great population of elk here, and most of our hunters come from out of state, and they want to hunt elk. So we do drop camps where we would pack you into an area and drop you off and, you know, set your camp, drop you off, and come back and check on you every other day. We do semi-service camps where we would do the same kind of camp, only take a cook and horses into camp. And then our full-service hunts operate from here at the ranch. And we provide all the meals, the packing service, the guides, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
That is great.
You,
definitely have something for everyone, and it sounds like you're open pretty much year-round.
Yeah, we are. You know, we Christmas time's busy in the winter, and then, you know, it's kind of a hit and miss January, February, and March, but it's a great time for us to, you know, try new programs and think about our marketing and get ready for, you know, a kickoff for the spring season. And it gives us a chance, too, to kind of unwind and look forward to the next year and all that it brings.
Well, now, when we come out to Trail Ride, do you do guided rides as well as just let people go out? And I'm sure you have pretty well marked maps and trails marked out there.
We do. The Forest Service has done a great job marking their trails, and when our guests on our horses go out, we do send somebody with them. You know, in this day and age, insurance is a big deal. We do, though, try to ride to our rider's ability. So if it's a family with little kids, it would be a different ride than if it were all adults. You know, we want it to be fun for our guests. Now, our guests that come with their own horses go on their own, do their own thing, ride as long as they like or not, and, you know, they're free to come and go as they please, so we don't have to be there for that.
Okay, all right.
That's awesome. And how many sites do you have for people that bring their own rigs?
We have 25 electric and water, and six of those are, there's seven of those that are water, electric, and sewer. We have a dump station for those other sites that don't have the sewer, and then we have a primitive area that also has horse pens. Last weekend we probably had, 45 or so people in our primitive area. So we do a lot of special events. Last weekend it was Rocky Mountain Orienteering, 275 international guests that were here for an orienteering event. This coming weekend we have a big wedding, 170 people coming for that. We also do a lot of corporate events. And then we do have some military training that we do on the, you know, outside of our regular summer season.
Well, and, you know, that was an interesting thing that we were talking with you about the other day with Randy. And you actually help in training the military for their packing and for riding, don't you?
We do, yeah. That's one piece of one contract that we have. You know, and I'm sure people are aware of what we ask of our military and what we also ask of their families. We do a day here at the ranch for, we have several military bases in Colorado Springs, and we do a day at the ranch for the Army down at Fort Carson, and they can come up and bring their families, and they'll bring Humvees and their working dogs, and we have a little shooting range on the ranch and a climbing tower and those kind of things. And, you know that they have family somewhere, but when they all come together and the big gruff sergeant or whoever he is that's here training the guys comes walking in with his 2-year-old in his arms and his 5-year-old holding her hand and bringing them to the family day, it changes your whole perspective.
Oh, wow.
And they are an amazing bunch of guys, so, and amazing families that support them. So we're proud and extremely honored to be able to be a part of that, both from a personal, you know, side and from our business. So we're really grateful for that.
Well, and
I think it's to support our military. I think that's absolutely incredible. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah,
well, it's our pleasure. We have a wall in our dining room that has little plaques and things, and we have a group coming here in another couple weeks, and it seems to be the new thing to outdo the ones before them with some sort of a plaque or the last ones we got were license plates that were spell out MLAZC, and it's amazing. So we've got a whole wall of trophies, as we call them, and we're pretty proud of them.
Oh, that's great. That is absolutely great. Well, you have a beautiful facility, and again, we want to encourage people to go and visit your website, and that is MLAZC Ranch. Is it ranch or just MLAZC?
No, just MLAZC.com.
MLAZC.com, and check out their website. And Brenda, how far in advance do people need to make reservations to come spend time with you?
Well, as soon as they can. I, you know, I hate to be pushy about it, but I would say that probably 30% of our guests book their sites and their cabins when they leave the prior year.
Wow. Wow. Well, that tells me that it's a great place to visit because people are planning on coming back time and time again. And
it's a must-see.
Yeah,
well,
just,
and the fun part for us is we get to watch their families grow up. They watched our family grow up. You know, I think we could go anywhere in the country, and if we were in trouble, we could call and say, it's Randy and Brenda from the M Lazy C, and we'd have, you know, all the help we needed.
Oh, that's great.
So,
that's great.
And we hope that they feel the same for us. So it's pretty amazing. It's been an amazing journey for us and a great way to raise our family. And, you know, I think my mother's tears are gone.
Well,
we
I
have survived it, so she's not so worried about us starving to death, I think.
Well, and that green shack carpet is gone, so that probably made a big difference.
Hallelujah is all I can tell you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, listen, so this is the M Lazy C Ranch. It is in Lake George, Colorado, about, 45 minutes, did you say, from Colorado Springs?
Uh-huh. Right.
And you can see Pike's Peak from there. You can visit the Garden of the Gods. You've got so many different things that folks can come and spend time on the ranch and do they do any cattle round up there? Do you teach
a little.
How to do any?
It depends on our moisture. This year we've done pretty well. Last year we kept them all out east of Colorado Springs because there's just more grass there. You know, we're in a high mountain valley and our rainfall isn't huge. So at the moment we're pretty green. We could probably bring them home, but it's about time to take them back down to lower pastures anyway, so they're down there now.
Okay, well, people can really get a taste of what the cowboy life is at the M Lazy C. Great hospitality, great food, great activities for all of the family. And and I can't tell you how much that Tina May and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us on the show and share information. You've got folks that come from out of the country and spend time with you, don't you?
Oh, yeah, a lot, actually. So
well.
Fun. I mean, it's like traveling every day, you know, learning how people live and what they do for a living and their lifestyles. It's been fun.
Well, we've got listeners that are all across the U.S., and we have listeners in about 50 different countries, so we want to encourage those folks.
Oh,
if you want to really see what the West is like and experience some great hospitality, then visit mlazyc.com and schedule a trip out to the beautiful state of Colorado and visit with Randy and Brenda Myers. Gracious host,
yes.
And you're on my bucket list.
Well, great, and thank you guys so much for giving us this opportunity and continued success to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, come visit, and I'm voting for you, so just come on down.
All right, thank you.
I'm planning on it. That sounds like a trip for me.
Okay. Well, thank you both.
Thanks, and tell Randy hey for us.
We will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Tina May, have you had fun tonight?
Absolutely. It was a great show. Great guest.
Well, yeah, great guest. I enjoyed talking with Sam, and we want people to be sure and follow him through the rest of his journey across America as he's winding up there in Virginia. And keep track of him on Facebook at One Nation Ride. And be sure and check out Randy and Brenda's place, the M Lazy C in Colorado, because I know you're going to have a good time. Tina May, what have we got coming up next week on the show?
Next week has another good show with some great guests. We've got Josh Gooden. He's a Crossroads Horsemanship, and he's going to be talking about trail survival. We also have Christine Mortensen with Circle E Guest Ranch and the Cumberland Mountains in Tennessee.
Yeah, a great place. I've been there and spent quite a bit of time, and great location. It's about an hour and a half out of Nashville and just about an hour out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. So it's going to be fun talking with Josh and with Christine next week and some great information there. Beautiful facility that they have. And Josh is actually doing a survival training course there in just a couple of weeks, so we'll be talking about that too. So we'll talk about some trail survival techniques with Josh, as well as visiting with Christine. And Thursday on the Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, I'm really excited about the fact that we have the legendary singer-songwriter Lacey J. Dalton that's going to be joining
us.
Yeah.
Listen to her. I like Lacey J.
All right, we're going to share our music. We're going to be talking with Lacey, and we're going to be talking with Eddie Floyd, who is the host of America Matters radio program that originates out of Reno, Nevada. But they are really involved in the preservation of one of our great treasures, and that is the endangered wild Mustang. So we'll be talking with them, listening to Lacey's music this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe at noon Central Standard Time on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe. And Tina May, you are just so much fun to talk with. And I'm just so pleased to have you joining me as the co-host for this show. And before we go, we want to remind folks about the fact that, again, our Legacy Club is a thank you to all of our listeners, our friends that are out there. Doesn't cost anything to join the Legacy Club. Go visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. We'll have great discounts available to you from our Legacy Club sponsors. Great monthly giveaways just for becoming a Legacy Club member. And I'm pretty excited about this month's giveaway. Can you tell us what that is?
It is, this month's giveaway is a lasered firing. It's a portable firing that you can take with you, and you can actually have them custom made. If you have a particular scene or a logo or a saying that you like, you can actually have it made. They can be custom made, and they are in panels, and it is a portable firing that you can actually take along with you, or you can have it in your backyard.
Well, they're beautiful fire rings. It's a laser-etched portable fire ring, and it's being provided by our great folks, The Shop. And you can find them on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So we'll be giving that away at the end of the month. And then, again, we have our grand prize giveaway that's a portable two-horse watering system from HydroHorse. And so just a lot of great things that we have going on. Be sure and play Trail Trivia with us next week on Saddle Up America at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening. You love.
learn to let go.